The following is a presentation of the Open Door Bible Baptist Church and Pastor Chris Tice. For more audio and video content, please check us out on the web at www.opendoornj.org.
Just a brief message with you tonight from Philippians 4. So if you want to turn in your Bibles there, I'm not going to have a lot of points and a lot of notes, but I just want to work through this passage of Scripture tonight. Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 4, and I'll read down to verse number 11. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, what sort of things are true? What sort of things are honest? What sort of things are just? What sort of things are pure? What sort of things are lovely? What sort of things are of good report? If there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Simple passage of Scripture, but there's a lot in this as Paul is writing to the Philippian church, having gone through imprisonment, and here at the last, if you would, towards the end of his earthly ministry, Paul is penning words on the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, almost as if kind of a last bit of words to say to a church that he desires to encourage, a church that when he thinks of them, he says earlier, encourages him because of their faithfulness, because of their joy in suffering and difficulty, because of their generosity in giving to the needs that he had and the needs of the poor and others that were sick and had need. And this church was a church that was obviously imperfect. There were instructions that they needed to have, but they were a church that was faithful to the Lord, and they were a church that was encouraging to Paul. And so from that kind of mindset, Paul is writing about and understanding, we understand that Paul had a lot of reasons, if you would, not to be content. How many know that you too tonight have a lot of reasons not to be content? There are a lot of things that we could bring up to our hearts and minds and say, I'm not content with my life, and you could fill in the blanks with what are the reasons why you're not content. We all struggle with discontentment, if you would, or lack of contentment in the areas of our lives where we feel like we should be excelling and we're not, where we feel like we should see some semblance of success over the amount of time that we've put in, and maybe we're not getting the success that we want. We feel like failure sometimes. Anybody else feel like that? I feel like a failure sometimes in areas where I feel like I should be ahead. Sometimes I'm behind. In areas where I feel like I should have learned those lessons already, I'm still in the process of learning them. I don't know that we're ever going to stop learning them. But Paul wasn't speaking about contentment in regard to circumstance, we know. Because circumstantially, Paul had every reason not to be content, but the Bible says that he learned to be content. And he learned to be content because he learned that contentment or satisfaction was not found in his circumstances, but was found in Jesus. And truly tonight, that's where our contentment should lie, but often if we're not careful, our contentment gets caught up, or our lack of contentment is in the fact that we're not truly thankful for what we have, the position that we're in, and we're not focused on our life looking it through the lens of the perspective of God's mercy and God's grace. Instead, we're looking at it through the lens of what we want or what we desire or what the world is, if you would, told us we should be, or what we feel like our heart's desires are. I think in the middle of this, Paul references in verse number 7 in the text that we read about the peace of God. I'm thankful tonight that we have peace with God, the Bible says, through Jesus Christ. Because of what he's done, he has made peace with God on our behalf that we could not. He's our peace that we could not make peace with God because of our sin. Jesus, he died, paid for our sins, and he made peace with God. That's not something we wait to the end of our life to get. It's something we receive the moment we put faith and trust in Jesus and his finished work. And he puts us at peace with God. He brings us into a relationship with God. But Paul is speaking of something, if you would, differently than just peace with God. He's talking about the peace of God. It's what Jesus references when he talks to the disciples. He says, my peace I'm going to leave with you. And the peace that I have, I'm going to give to you. And he says, the peace that I have, I'm going to give to you, but it's not the peace that the world has. It's not even brought to you into your life in the same way that the world acquires peace. This peace is peace that I'm gifting you, peace that I'm going to produce in you, and that production is going to be through the Holy Spirit of God in you. The Holy Spirit of God, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, right? That's the peace of God. And he talks about it in this way. Paul references in this way, similar to what Jesus said. It's not like the world's peace. Paul says it this way. It's peace that passes understanding. It's beyond understanding. It doesn't make sense through worldly wisdom. That's exactly what how he's framing it. In other words, it's not peace that you should have based on your circumstances. It's not somebody that looks at you and says, oh, that person obviously should have peace because their life is good. It's looking at someone who has peace and someone saying, I have no idea how that person can be at peace in the midst of what they're going through. How that person could not have anxiety, fear, distress in the situation that they're in. If you notice, he says this, he talks about rejoicing in the Lord. But at verse 6, he says, be careful or be anxious or don't be worried about anything. How many, that doesn't help you when you're worried for someone to say, don't worry. But it is often what we get in the scriptures. When the angels of the Lord appear to people and they're afraid, what do the angels say? Don't be afraid. Stop being afraid. Don't fear, right? Jesus, when he stepped on the bow of the boat, when the disciples were afraid, what did he say? Fear not. Told them not to be afraid. Because really, what this is a submission to the commands of God and a dying to our feelings. And that is the key, if you would, to the peace of God. That is the key to anxiety and worry and fear and fretting going away. It's not so much that you finally get to the position where you don't feel worried or you don't feel afraid. It's that you submit your will, your feelings, your emotions, and your circumstances to the authority of Jesus. You say, I feel afraid, I feel worried, I feel uneasy about my situation, but I'm going to trust you no matter how I feel. I'm going to submit to your word because your word is true. My feelings betray me. My circumstances lie to me. My heart deceives me. But God doesn't do any of those things. I can trust him. And really, in the midst of a world that is losing their minds in the cases of anxiety and fear, that are not at peace, that are not content in so many different ways, Christians should have this picture. If they should be a picture of the peace of God to a world that's losing their minds. They should be a stable, sane society, group of people in the midst of a chaotic world, that we're salt and light, that we're useful, if you would, in that our lives are pictures of the peace of God. And the only way that we get to that position in our lives is not through, I'm not going to give you 10 steps to getting cured from your anxiety tonight. Because that's not what the Bible says here. The Bible just tells us to submit ourselves, to submit our hearts and our minds to doing what he commands us to do. Notice he talks about the mind here. He tells us how to think, doesn't he? Because we don't think the way that we should. And so he has to command us, he has to tell us the way that we should think, and we have to submit to his commands in thinking on those things. In other words, we have to cast down thoughts that are not aligned with what he tells us to think on. If we're truly going to be Christians who have the peace of God, then we must, if you would, be careful about what we think on, what we meditate on, and what we allow into our hearts and minds. Notice he says in verse number 8, brethren, finally, brethren, what sort of things are what? True. How many have found that a lot of the anxiety and fear that you face was not based on truth? It was based on you believing something that, if you would, was twisted or spun in some way to cause fear. The media is great at doing that. They do that all day long. And that's what that's their job, if you would, to continue to keep us in a state of fear. And that's how ratings go. If it's not some kind of awe-inspiring type thing, you know, it has to be some kind of tragedy in order to keep people paying attention, if you would, to the narrative that they're saying. God's not like that. God speaks to us calmly through a still small voice. He doesn't make a lot of noise, but he always speaks truth to us. And he tells us to meditate on truth. Think about what he tells us in Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his mind is focused on the word of God. And in his law doth he what? Meditate day and night. His mind is on the word of God. That's so important, isn't it? That our minds are on, fixated on the word of God. How can I submit to something I don't know? I need to hide God's word in my heart so that I can submit to it. It keeps me from sin. It keeps me from fear. It keeps me from anxiety. It keeps me from falling into these traps that often the world has set for us. And we must meditate on things that are true. You say, if I don't know it's true, what should I do with it? Don't think about it. Unless you're sure that it's true, don't meditate on it. Don't spend time on things that might be true when you have so much truth to meditate on and to think on. God has given us volumes and volumes of truth for us to fix our hearts and minds on. If we're not careful, we're thinking so much on the words of man and not on the words of God. And God's word is what we need to meditate on. What sort of things, if it was not enough for him to say true, he says, what sort of things are honest? This is not just having to do with the body of truth, but this is just having to do with what people say, whether they're speaking something honestly, they're honest in the things that they're saying. But also I would say this, how many know that your own heart can be dishonest to yourself? And that you need to focus on making sure that in your own heart, the words that you're thinking about, the words that you're meditating on are honest. You're being honest with yourself in light of what you know is true from the word of God. What sort of things are just? The things that are right. You know, there is a right and wrong. You know, there is a right and wrong. I know the world would love to blur the lines between right and wrong. But the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. And there's just things that we should be focused on. And believers should be especially thinking on things that are right, that are just. What sort of things are pure? We live in a world of impurities in our minds. And by the way, that's something, if we're not careful, we allow impurities into our minds, we entertain them often, and we allow them to stay there, and we focus on things that are not pure. How do you know whether you're focused in your mind on things that are pure? Well, what's coming out of your mouth? What's coming in your conversation? What's coming out of your behaviors? What are you drawn to? Those things should be pure or holy. Notice what sort of things are lovely. Think on those things, the things that are lovely, those things that all that God has created is good. All that God has made is good. It's good for us to dwell on things that are good, things that are beautiful, things that are lovely. And he tells us to dwell on those things. In our world, we're drawn or we're encouraged to think on things that are dark, things that are morbid, things that are not beautiful. And the world has turned death into some kind of thing that we're so afraid of that we've made it into something that's so popular that we dwell on it. And God says to think on those things that are lovely, things that are of good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. The peace of God is about submitting to the truth of God. It's about thinking on the things of God. And it's about learning to be content in the place that I am. Think about that. It's about learning to be content in the place that I am. I can be at peace if I know that wherever I am, whether I'm, as Paul said, abounding or whether I'm being abased, whether it's good or it's bad, if God has placed me there, then it is good. I can be content in it. If God has allowed me to be where I am, that it is for my good and for his glory, even if it's not as comfortable as I'd like it to be. Maybe God has you in a season where your life is not where you'd like it to be, and you're finding yourself battling with fear and lack of contentment. And what we should yield ourselves to, if you would, is to the will of God, in trusting him no matter what state that we're in, no matter what place that we're in life. Also knowing that God is with us in that place. I think we can make it through if we know he's with us. You know, even if it's a difficult situation that we find ourselves in. Notice he says, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. So he's calling them not just to think, but he's calling them also to behave, to take action on the things that they've seen in good examples. Following the example, he's calling them to his example in their lives. And as God placed him in their lives to be a teacher, an instructor, a preacher. And notice he's saying, as you do what you're supposed to do, the God of peace shall be what? Shall be with you. The God of peace shall be with you. So not only will you have the peace of God, but the God of peace is with you. So it's not just peace that's inside of you, it's peace that's around you. You're surrounded by the peace of God. You have the Spirit of God within you who never leaves you or forsakes you. And the God of peace tonight is with you no matter what position or state you find yourself in. But notice, it's not just attached to thinking, it's attached to doing. He says, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. It takes courage to do what's right when I don't feel like doing what's right. It takes courage to trust God when I'm afraid. It takes courage to think and to yield myself to the Spirit of God in what he's commanded me to do when I don't desire to do those things. When I'm worried, when I'm anxious, when I'm afraid, and when I can't see the end in sight. And I think that's really what scares us more than anything. It's the unknown. It's not knowing how things are going to work out. But God says, do the things that I'm telling you to do, and I'll be with you. And notice he speaks towards the end here about contentment. He says, it's not that I need anything. It's not that I need anything. I'm not saying these things to you because I need something from you. Because sometimes what we think is when someone speaks into our lives and they're giving us instructions because they want something from us. And Paul's saying to them, I don't want anything from you. I've learned to be content with what I have. I've learned to be content in the place that I've had, that I have. And he said he knows how to do that when it's good, abase or bad, and abounding when it's good, everywhere in all things, to be full and to be hungry, to abound and to suffer need. And then he finishes what we read here, not that the end of the chapter is here, but it's a good place for us to stop tonight. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Notice the context of this verse that often we quote, and sometimes it's applied. And I'm not saying It's a bad thing for us to quote scripture ever. I think it's great when we do, but I think it's so much more powerful when we understand the context. Because it takes it from something that sounds nice when we want to think about it to something that we actually need when we are in a place in our lives where we're struggling to do what God's told us to do. And what is he saying? Unless, when you get to the end of this list and you go, I just can't do this. He's saying, no, you can do this through Christ. Because he's going to what? Give you the strength to do it. So do it. That's what he's saying. Do it, because you'll find yourself thinking that you're too weak to do it. But all of a sudden, as you're doing it, receiving the strength that you need to get it done. That's an amazing thing. Where does that strength come from? It comes from the peace of God. It comes from the peace of the God of peace who is with you. It comes from him. He's the one who strengthens us. See, God never commands us to do something that's impossible for us without empowering us. See, this is impossible for man. He's not saying things that are easy here. This is something that's nice in a devotion to read, you know. You having your morning coffee and, oh, this is nice, rejoice in the Lord and think on lovely things. But when you are anxious, when you are afraid, when you are feeling like not following the Lord, when you're struggling, this is not easy to do. It's impossible to do. And so he's saying to us, lest we think in that moment, I can't do this, it's not possible. He's saying, no, you can. You can. And I know you can, because I'm going to give you the strength. In the hour of your need, I will give you the strength to do it. That's why we should just do what God says. You know, when you look at the stories in the scriptures, and I'm done tonight, of the people that God called to do things, really every story is the same, isn't it? None of them could do anything that God was telling them to do. And all of them struggled when God told them to do it. And yet, when they obeyed God, the power was there for them to do it every time. And what is God saying to us? I'm with you in the same way. I love what God says to Joshua. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. Don't be afraid. Don't turn to the left. Don't turn to the right. Just do what I say, and I'll be with you wherever you go. And that's what Paul is saying to us as he closes the book of Philippians. He's saying to all of us, when you're feeling, because this is when we need it, right? When you're feeling anxious, when you're feeling weak, when you're feeling afraid, when your mind is focused on the things that it shouldn't be focused on, when you're struggling to think right, when you're struggling to do right, understand, if you'll yield to me, you'll trust me, I'll give you the strength to do what you need to do. And that's what we need, isn't it? To do the Christian life. Because every single one of us tonight has something we're afraid of, has something we're struggling with, have sins that we battle with, and we all have some areas of our life where we're discontent. And I'll tell you tonight, it's not easy following Jesus in those times, but it's definitely worth doing every time. And God will give us all, in our specific areas of responsibility, the strength to do what God called us to do in those times. So keep doing all things through Christ, because he will strengthen you. You can't do it on your own. I can't do it on my own. But we can do it with his strength. And remember, the battle is in your mind. You know, don't be worried. Don't fear. Trust him. Submit yourself, submit your heart and your mind. When your thoughts are betraying you, when your heart is deceiving you, when you're thinking on things that you shouldn't be thinking on, submit to God in those moments. Yield to him. Trust him in those moments, knowing that he will lead you right where you're supposed to be every single time. And that is to be at peace, because that's where God wants us to be. He wants us always to be at peace. I'm not always at peace. How about you? But God wants us to be at peace all the time. That's why he gave us his peace. And it's resting in him in those moments where we're wrestling with life that we can find his peace. But know that it's not you finding the strength to do it. It's you doing it. And while you do it, getting the strength to continue doing it. Because he will empower you when you put your hand to do what he told you to do. And here's the truth. You'll find yourself powerless if you sit and do nothing. You will continue to have no power. It's not until you obey that the power comes. It's when you do what God says that he gives you the strength to do it. And so if you never do what he says, you'll never experience the strength that he gives. But he wants to give us strength, and he wants to give us peace. Not like the world gives, but a peace that passes understanding, that keeps our hearts and minds through Christ.
If God has used this ministry in any way to be a blessing to you, please take a moment to send us an email to info@opendoornj.org. Also, if you would like to support this ministry financially, you can do so online at opendoornj.org. Thanks for tuning in.